It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin's top education official was in the hot seat yesterday during a 90-minute informational hearing at the state capitol.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underly testified before the Senate Committee on Education about a bombshell report from the Cap Times published last month.
That report found more than 200 educators have been investigated for sexual misconduct between 2018 and 2023.
In a news conference before the Senate hearing, Underly laid out several steps that the Department of Public Instruction will take to prevent sexual abuse in schools and to better protect students.
In just a bit, we'll hear from a Republican lawmaker who's proposed a bill to better define child sexual grooming and make it a felony crime in Wisconsin.
But first, we turn to WPR's education reporter, Corey Hess, for an update on what Underly had to say yesterday. Corey, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So one of the steps that Superintendent Jill Underly laid out is to prevent sexual misconduct in schools is a publicly accessible database to see which teachers have whose licenses have been revoked or surrendered. How could this better protect students?
Well, I'm not sure how it will better protect students, but it will give people a better idea of who has been revoked. Right now, those teacher licenses, you can see whose has been suspended, but it's hard to find and it doesn't say why they've been suspended. So let's say that you want to look up a teacher. You can type in their name and it will just say revoked or suspended, but not why. So Superintendent Underly said yesterday that they're going to pull this out so you can find it easier, and they will have more explanations of why that teacher no longer has a license.
Is this new database an indication DPI is potentially accepting blame for how investigations have been handled previously?
You know, she was asked about that, if DPI has done anything wrong, and she said no, that they hadn't, and she said that this would make it clearer, and she said many times yesterday, both in her press conference and before the Senate Education Committee, that it is their job to do investigations, and not all investigations lead to teachers losing their license. So, you know, she pointed out that there's always investigations ongoing, mm-hmm. and that they hear from school districts and then they immediately suspend or a license while they do the investigation, and then they move on from there.
The state superintendent also pledged to close a loophole that would now require teachers at private schools to be licensed with DPI. Can you talk about this loophole? Are predators taking advantage of it?
Well, you know, one of the senators on the committee pointed out yesterday that a teacher could lose their license in a public school on a Friday and then walk into another school that doesn't require a license on a Monday and get a job. Now, if that's happening, nobody is sure. I'm sorry, I have a puppy that's playing with a ball, if you hear that bouncing.
No worries.
Okay. So, I mean, she herself can't close that loophole. Mm. That would be something that, you know, the private schools are going to have to decide if teachers have to have a license. And many private schools do have licensed teachers. I mean, I don't want to make it seem like private schools don't employ teachers without licenses. Some do, many do. But I think this has called into question, you know, what about schools that don't? And what about people that lose their license and then can go on to other places? So I think this whole thing has just raised a lot of questions about how can we best keep children safe.
Can you, as we close here, talk a little more about the Senate education hearing? And Underly brought up budget constraints, not being able to make the case for additional funding that could potentially address these issues. How did state senators react to this?
She did, and that's where there was a lot of back and forth. She said that 10% of her budget request this year was cut by the legislature, although the Senate committee pointed out that that money was not earmarked for investigating misconduct, and that they did not know until this newspaper article came out that this was even a problem. So, you know, and then DPI came back and said, well, losing money, you know, is just across the board, and that they have to make tough decisions when they lose money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are about 113 cases at one time that DPI is looking at. And DPI has 1.5 people that investigate out of 500 employees. So, you know, I mean, there is a lot that that DPI is looking at doing.
Corey, thank you for this update.
Thank you.
Corey Hess is WPR's education reporter. Now we turn to State Representative Amanda Nedweski, Republican who represents a southeastern assembly district stretching from Lake Geneva to Pleasant Prairie. Representative Nedweski, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What was your reaction to State Superintendent Underley's testimony to the Senate Education Committee yesterday?
Well, as you know, I had her invited to my committee a couple of weeks ago, but she couldn't make herself available to appear before the Assembly Committee on Government Operations, Accountability, and Transparency. So I was glad to see her actually show up for the Senate Committee on Education yesterday. My reaction was that her staff was better prepared and better informed than her. I did hand deliver copies of my new bills that we are circulating this week on criminalizing grooming and requiring school districts to have policies that establish appropriate standards of communication between staff and minors. I handed those to her personally at the committee and said, you know, I'm looking forward to getting your feedback on these bills that I believe are nonpartisan or at least bipartisan. And we'd like to work together. And hopefully we will hear you in our public hearings on these bills in support of getting them passed. So, you know, she accepted the papers I gave her, and we shook hands, and I want to work together with Dr. Underley on this. I think that's something that we can all get behind.
Let's dig into the legislation. You're proposing this bill that would create a new criminal offense that would define and penalize grooming of a child for sexual activity. How does the bill define it?
Oh, my goodness. I don't have it in front of me. You'll have to look it up. We worked together with law enforcement on coming up with the appropriate definition using examples from states like Illinois, Texas, Ohio. Six or seven other states have grooming as a crime. I've been working on this for over a year and a half. It came out of a situation in the city of Kenosha, the Kenosha Unified School District. There was a case with a 35-year-old teacher who had been grooming a 13, 14-year-old student for over a long period of time, thousands and thousands of text messages exchanged, text and images. And there was some interesting ways that the investigation unfolded in the beginning at the local level. But finally, when law enforcement was involved, they got to a point where they didn't have a crime that they could charge him with other than disorderly conduct. And you end up in a situation then where, okay, there's 20, 23 counts of disorderly conduct. He ends up pleading guilty to 15, gets 1 year in jail. So we need an actual crime of grooming to make sure that we can give law enforcement the tools they need and prosecutors the tools they need to put these predators away and to make sure that the victims get justice.
I want to turn to yesterday's Senate committee hearing. State Superintendent Underley repeatedly stressing that more funding is needed to do this work. And here is some of what the superintendent said.
The department needs resources to improve its licensing system. A modernized platform will make information more transparent, easier to access, and faster to process.
Representative, do you support giving DPI more resources to address this problem?
As Corey was saying earlier, they did discuss in the committee hearing yesterday that DPI never came to the legislature saying they specifically needed resources to assist with investigating cases of misconduct. You know, if that had been a plea that they made to the legislature, it might have, you know, been something that we would have wanted to invest in. But that wasn't something that they came forward with. It wasn't until the Cap Times article came out that they even started saying that this was an issue. So forgive me if I don't take the request very seriously. I mean, I look at the size of Dr. Underlie's executive staff, and it's almost triple what it was under Tony Evers. I mean, I think they have some room within their own agency to make some cuts and find some money that they can invest in that system if they want to. Not to mention, our Department of Safety and Professional Services, you can go on their website and see any other type of licensed person in the state, a manicurist, a cosmetologist, a tattoo artist, you know, and you can see if they have a license revocation, and you can see pages and pages of appeals and reasons why they were revoked or why they were reinstated very, very easily. Only in DPI do you have a situation up until the last few days that you could only see the status of the license with no reason. So if it was voluntarily surrendered, no reason given. If it was revoked, no reason given. If it's under investigation, no reason given.
And very quickly, I mean, you know, one of Underlie's proposed changes is closing this loophole requiring all educators to be licensed, regardless of whether they're in a private school, a charter school, or a public school. Do you support that?
I support parents' choices. If they want to send their child to a public school, it's up to the parent to know whether or not that school requires teachers to be licensed. Many private schools do require their teachers to be licensed. I think it's interesting that she's making this argument, given the fact that she herself sent her own kids to St. James Catholic School.
So, you know, what behaviors are you seeing that are not criminalized now that your bill would criminalize, that your bill would address?
So oftentimes predators who are engaged in grooming a child for future sexual activity know exactly where the line is between, you know, a crime and something that's maybe more in the gray area. If you go back to this Christian Enright case in Kenosha, you can see photos where he sent pictures of himself maybe without his shirt on or making flirtatious faces to a 13-year-old child, you know, over a period of time, or he would ask her to send photos back where it was not exposing parts of the body that would make it a crime, but certainly definitely, you know, crossing major professional boundaries and engaging in immoral conduct.
Representative Nedweski, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Republican State Representative Amanda Nedweski of Pleasant Prairie, authored a new bill that would make sexual grooming of children a criminal offense. State Superintendent Jill Underlie was invited to come on today's program, but was unavailable.